This is Gay Barfield, used to be Gay Swenson. I worked with Carl for many years at the Center for Studies of the Person. We did a number of things in common, including the Living Now workshop at which he spoke annually. And then we established the Carl Rogers Institute for Peace at the center and did a number of international programs. And but prior to that, in about 1985, maybe it was after we had established the Peace Project, he was traveling to Brazil. I love this story because it's so like him. He was away in Brazil with some other colleagues. We traveled in different combinations to different places at different times. And I was house-sitting at his house for some reason. This was after Helen's death. And so it was convenient and nice for him and probably for me for some reason. Maybe I was in the process of moving or something. But I was house-sitting for him for a couple of weeks. And one evening, went out with some colleagues. I think it was Val Henderson and Maria Bowen. And we were at Maria's house and visiting and dinner and so on. And then I drove home, and it was dark, and opened the door to the house and turned on the lights, and in the living room it looked a kind of disorderly, and I know I had, you know, not left things around. And I looked over to the left, and the VCR, or I don't know what it was at that era, I think it was a VCR, there was a lot of disorder around the technology there, and it looked like something was missing. And I noticed that a silk, beautiful Indian silk scarf of mine was also missing, and I realized that somebody had broken into the house. Of course, that was quite troubling, since Carl wasn't home. I was house sitting, and so I immediately called my friends and colleagues back and told them what had happened. And I looked in the kitchen, and I believe the back door was open, and it looked like the kitchen window had been broken into. And then someone had reached over and opened the back door. So we called the police, and then we're trying to figure out how to reach Carl. Here he was thousands of miles away in probably a remote location in Brazil doing workshops. And eventually we did. I'm sure we did somehow. And he said he would be home in a couple of days, two or three days, so we would just handle the logistics of it until he got back. Well, it was, you know, quite distressing, and I was so upset. And then when he arrived home to the house, and I was still there, somebody had picked him up at the airport, I guess, and I was in the house, and he opened the door, and I said, "Oh, Carl." And he said, "Oh, Gay, you must be so distressed to have had this happen, and it was probably really hard on you to have this happen and my not being here, or, you know, someone having to handle this this at this long distance." And it just struck me just once again how immediately it wasn't Carl's question, "Well, what did the police say? Hello, Gay. What's the situation?" It was really a focus on the other person and what it must have meant to me to have experienced something like this. So his empathy was so present and so instinctive and so immediate. And I love this story. Well, the rest of the story, though, is that because Carl was elderly at that time and living alone, and he was very independent, and, you know, different people would go up and work with him during the day on something or help him do some piece of work or something. but he was very independent, and so we were all saying how Maria and Natalie and Val and I and most of the women friends were saying, Carl, you can't keep doing this. You know, you need to get an alarm system. You need to get some sort of protection here with this kind of a break-in, special locks. And he kept insisting that he just wasn't going to do that. He didn't want to live that way. And to me, that expressed, again, his sense of wanting to live in trust, either trust of the process, trust of people, trust at some level that did not make him a prisoner of fear and anxiety and suspicion, which would have been so anomalous and incongruent with who he is. So what he did agree to was that we'd have put up in the kitchen, I think it was Maria, and Natalie and Val found that you could put, we all looked into something, that you could put bars on the windows of the kitchen that weren't bars, they were sort of beautiful black grates that were designful and attractive, and at least that way somebody couldn't reach in and open up the kitchen door. And so that was sort of an accommodation that was made. So I love this story, and actually I'm going to be writing a small book, I believe, and have many, many vignettes like this over years of working with Carl and other colleagues that I'm calling Vignettes and Incidents, Walking His Talk with Carl Rogers. So thank you for asking me to join you on this little piece here. And he was a wonderful man, and he did walk his talk.